Well, we are on part three of our series, Discerning the Times, that we are in. And 2 weeks ago, we started this. Actually, what's the month? Yeah, 2 weeks. Part two is last week. So yeah, 2 weeks. Was talked about the manifestations of the Son of God, or the manifestation of the sons of God. We talked about the importance of knowing what is happening in the world around us, but living in the kingdom of God and discerning who we are through all of that. Amen. Living in the kingdom of God, discerning the times we're in, but not in despair from the hopelessness of the world standpoint, but discerning the times we're in through the word of God and through the spirit of God, in other words, from the standpoint of the kingdom of heaven, which is in us. That's how we discern the times. That's how we know what to do. That's how we know where to go, how to carry on our conversation on this earth or our manner of life. Heaven is a place. The kingdom of heaven is how it operates. You know, and God is more up to date than any newscast you'll ever see. Besides, the news, the media, all they know is what's already happened. They're just telling you everything. God knows what's going to happen. And he's given us record of it already in his word. He knows exactly what's going to happen. And so we can get in on it. And then the Holy Spirit comes on and breathes. Now it's happening. Now that's happening. Keep your eye on this. Don't go to this place. You know, I remember Creflo Dollar once sharing this, that he was once stopped by the Holy Spirit. He was going to go to Africa and do this crusade that was up there. And he was ready to get on the plane, and the Holy Spirit said, "Don't go." So he said, "I'm not going." The guy who went to pick him up never got the word, because the communication in this place, there's no communication there. So he went to pick him up, and he wasn't there. So he started back, and guess what happened? He was intercepted by rebels who murdered him. That would have been Creflo Dollar. The Holy Spirit is sent to help you. You need to know his voice. You need to understand his voice. And the better you know the word of God, the more you recognize his voice. Because it's the same voice in Genesis as it is in Psalms, as it is in Deuteronomy, as it is in John chapter 10, Mark chapter 4, whatever. It's the same voice. And when you're acclimated to the voice of the Word, you'll be acclimated to the voice of the Spirit. And he will never leave you wrong. You can say amen. That's good news. You can rely on it. You know, we have compasses that are made by men. And when this is all over and the fire hits it, it's going to all melt with fervent heat. But if we trust in that compass, how much more should we trust in this compass?
Right.
This gives us our direction, and the Holy Spirit quickens it to us and lets us know exactly when, where, and how. Boy, I should have got it. Yes! Anyhow, this is how the sons of God, the daughters of God, are manifest in the earth, to give witness to the living God among men. And we are the ones who are going to set that standard. When that standard is set, the world will want what we have. You guys awake today? Are you going home today? Where are you?
Yeah.
So, well, I got my prayer answered now, so I can relax. You need to stay tuned. There's some stuff we got to do. Part two is knowing the enemy's devices, and we touched on a big one. In fact, it was this unforgiveness is the only thing that really, Jesus really zeroed in on. And says, look, if you don't forgive, your heavenly Father won't forgive you. And that was right in the middle of sharing with us the faith principle from Mark 11:23. In Mark 11:24, the principle of prayer, when praying, believe you receive, and you shall have. What things soever you desire, when praying, believe you receive them. When you pray, believe you receive them. When you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. Therefore, I say unto you, forgive if you have ought against any that your heavenly Father will forgive you your trespasses. For if you forgive not, your Father won't forgive you your sins. It's a biggie. It's a biggie. This unforgiveness and we talked about it, it's mimicking the nature of God's number one enemy. Unforgiveness is a forfeiting of who you are in Christ and the authority that he's given you. Who you are, it's a lack of knowledge of who you are in Jesus Christ and a lack of confidence in that. And it gets you tangled up in this world and the momentum, and before you know it, you don't know where you're at. You know, it may look like the enemy has the upper hand, but who cares about if the devil seems to, like he wins one argument? We're in this for the long game, and the Bible said, his word says we win.
Amen.
Amen? That's why we stay faithful and remain true to the word of God, true to that core that gives God license in your life to do what he wants. When you do his word, it gives him license to do what he wants in your life. Because he doesn't force his will on anybody. Only those who cooperate receive the word of God. So we are in fact, let's just pray right now. The Lord just quickened that to me. Let's just pray right now. I'll pray you agree with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you to forgive me for holding any unforgiveness in my heart right now. Lord, I don't know why people are the way they are, what makes them do. I can't see in their hearts, but you know. And you also know me. And you created all of us. And therefore, in order for me to have no interruption in my faith, in my prayer life, I recognize now the devil's strategy and his device is to lock me up, to destroy my faith, to destroy my prayer life, and to keep me locked up in unforgiveness. I ask you to forgive me of that. I ask, Father, for all of that to be cleansed and destroyed by the blood of Jesus, that I might be free and rise up to receive all that you have for me and be all that you have created me to. And I refuse to fall into that trap again. And with your help, I'll do it. In Jesus' name. Amen. So now we're talking today about discerning the times we're in according to wisdom from above. Turn with me to James chapter 3. And in fact, put your finger in James chapter 3 and turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. I love the Psalms. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. New King James Version. It says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness." Trust. Well, that's a big word. Take refuge under Scripture's strength. Or Scripture's truth. Take refuge under Scripture's truth. We did a whole series on truth. You know, truth is what God says about you, regardless of what you say about yourself or what your situations say. God always sees you the way he created you. Trust in the Lord and do good. You can't do good unless you're trusting in the Lord.
Amen.
Because works of man will fail, fall, peter over, and die. But if you're trusting in the Lord, you will do good. And then it says, dwell in the land. What land is he talking about there? The land. Well, 500 years earlier, Moses led the people out of Egypt. For what? The promised land. This is the land that they're dealing with. You know, in the Old Testament points to the New Testament. The enemies of Israel represent the physical enemies of Israel, represent the spiritual enemies that we face now in our age.
Amen.
So when he says, dwell in the land, dwell in the promised land then, in the New Testament, it means dwell in the promises of God.
Amen.
How about it?
Yeah.
Dwell on the promises of God and feed on everything that's going on in the world. Stick your head in front of the news and watch it. Is that what he said?
No.
No. He says, feed on his faithfulness. Feed on it. If you're hungry, feed on it. If you need to know that God is faithful to you, feed on his, look, testimony after testimony after testimony, story after story, illustration after, in the Bible, proves his faithfulness. He's given us a map of a whole, he's decorated every wall in his work with his faithfulness. He asks us to trust him. And he put that in the unchangeable word which he has placed higher than his own name. And he gave it to us. Dwell in the promises of God. Feed on his faithfulness. And you'll do good. Amen? You'll do good. So, let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. So in James chapter 3, verse 13, it says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. The ESV, English Standard Version, says, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. I like that. But, verse 14, if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and don't lie against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Many translations say demonic. Verse 16 is a biggie. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Do we see confusion in our nation right now? Do we see envy and strife? Do we see people power hungry, grabbing for a higher office all the time? Just all kind of ambitious, egotist, self-centered, self-promoting. Do we see that? Well, what does that produce? Confusion, riots, lawlessness, and every evil work, right up to murder. We've seen murders in these cities, haven't we? Are you there?
Yes.
This is not a political rally, by the way. But if you can't talk about these things here, where can you talk about them? We need to address these things from a biblical standpoint and discern the times we're in, but address it from a position of strength and power. Because when you have the power of God, God knows how to blind your enemies.
Amen.
Ah! There's one. God knows how to zap the strength out of it. You know, Elisha, his servant Gehazi, came out one morning and he saw the entire Syrian army surrounding him. And he ran back and he said, what are we going to do? And he says, what's your problem? Those who were with us are more than with them. And, he's going like, he's nuts. And Elijah said, open his eyes. And he opened his eyes and saw the hills surrounding Elijah with chariots of fire. Armies of God ready to go to work and absolutely destroy them. And you know, years before this, what happened was there was an army of 185,000 Syrians surrounding Israel. And the next day they were going to destroy them. It says the angel of the Lord, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, went and slew 185,000 in one night. He holds the record as the general of the greatest army and the greatest defeat and the greatest victory ever.
And what's to come.
And Armageddon's going to top that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're having a party here today. Woo! But the wisdom that is from above is first pure and peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. The ESV says, and the harvest of righteousness, oh, I like that, is sown in peace by those who make peace. You a peacemaker? Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. The wisdom from above, in context with our discerning the times we're in, how do we recognize that wisdom? Well, first of all, it says it's pure. Undiluted, not mixed with the world's kind of wisdom. Not taking the word one way, and then when it's not convenient, you don't obey it, and you come up with your own wisdom. Right. Oh, that won't fly. It doesn't impress God at all. I mean, if you're able to get yourself out of the jam, why do you need him? He'll stand there like this. He'll let you. He'll let you go down. He will. But by faith, by feeding on his faithfulness and trusting in him, you'll be good. Mm. 12. In his promises, not in your own strength. Pure, undiluted. You know, I've used this illustration once before, but maybe a couple of times, but there was a reason why Jesus chose the mustard seed as his illustration of how faith operates. And it's, you know, people say, yeah, it's a little seed and it grows big. Yeah, it's all you need, a little faith. And that's true. All you just need a spark. God's just looking for just a spark of faith. I mean, he looks through the whole world. There's 8 billion people on the planet right now. Just a spark of faith, he can see it. That. But here's why. And I learned this from a farmer. The mustard seed, my father also was a licensed horticulturist, and he used to take rhododendrons and things and cross-pollinate them and propagate them into hybrid forms of rhododendrons, beautiful things. And he had names for each one of them. But the mustard seed is one seed, the only seed that we know of, that cannot be cross-pollinated with any other seed. It has to remain pure in order to reproduce. That's what your faith. It has to remain pure. The guy said to Jesus, he said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. So Jesus addressed that. And then once he got rid of, see, your unbelief is pulling one way, your belief is pulling the other way, and nobody's getting anywhere. Because you have enough faith to stop the unbelief, but you have enough unbelief to stop the faith from working. So what Jesus does with his word, he cuts off the unbelief and your faith starts producing and running out of control. It's good. Faith pure. The wisdom of God is first pure and peaceable. And pure, by the way, doesn't that go with Philippians chapter 4? Look at this. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, pure. And once you let that purity start to transform and renew your mind, you will be transformed into a single-minded person who gets everything answered. Isn't that good? I think we're walking in tall cotton this morning. Thank you, Jesus. You are so rich. And then he says, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits. Good harvests. You get good harvests in your life. And you don't know why they're coming to you, they're just coming to you. Now, I remember one time Kenneth Copeland shared, he said, he came home from one of his crusades one time. And in those days, he had 14 people in a crowd. Because he'd go into a town and go to say, no, don't go see him. So people were standing away in crowds. And he came home, and there was a Mercedes car parked in his driveway, and he wondered who was visiting. And he goes in and says, Gloria. And Gloria said, hey, did you see it out there? He said, yeah, who's here? She said, no, a guy came and dropped it off to us. He says, I'm not even a car guy. I could care less. He says, I fly jets anyway. So, but a car was sent, and he said, Lord, what do I do with that? I'd just like to sell it and put it back in the ministry. And he said, this is just part of the harvest that's starting to come in from the good decisions that you made. He wasn't even looking for it. And it was sitting in his driveway. Oh, partiality. You know, James chapter 2? Look at this. He deals with partiality. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there comes one into your assembly, a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that wears the gay clothing, that is a whole new meaning. This is. And say unto him, sit here in a good place, and to the poor, stand there or sit under my footstool. Are you not then partial? Not wise to do that. And become judges of evil thoughts. Would James take up these verses of New Testament real estate if churches weren't showing partiality? Is that happening now? Seating arrangements. Well, I'll just sit in the front row. You know, promoting rich people, successful people, rather than those who may not be all of that, but they are sincere and full of the Lord in their hearts.
Amen.
Those are the people, those are the treasures. Those are the precious ones of God. That God adores. He absolutely adores. But the self-promoting types, the climbers, doesn't the world see right through that? No wonder they call us hypocrites, showing partiality. And no matter how justified it seems, it's wrong. And it shouldn't happen. Jesus said, come on, if you're so good, take the last seat and then you'll be promoted. Did he say that?
Yes.
Well, the question is, how do you get this wisdom active in your life? How do you get it going? How do you get that wisdom to have first call in your life, its rightful place in your heart? How do you get that flowing in your life? Well, the first thing to understand is the Bible says that wisdom is a spirit. Ephesians 1. 17 or 18, it says, Paul prayed for the Ephesian church that the spirit of wisdom and revelation be given to them. The spirit of wisdom. Wisdom is a spirit, and it's just as eternal as God is. And by the way, eternal life goes just as far back as it does forward. It's eternal. There's more to you when you were born again and you realize. Because you are now filled with God's own life, the substance that makes God, the divine nature. It's the new birth. I had a college professor with three doctorates tell me once, the new birth isn't really a change. I mean, it's nothing really happens in your spirit. I said, really, why does the Bible say we're new creations then? He says, well, that's an expression. So God can't tell us the truth. He has to give us expressions that are kind of like the truth. So that I'm not really the righteousness of God. He's calling me something I'm really not.
Yeah.
And your bird can sing, but you won't get me. That's an old Beatles song. sometimes wisdom comes in strange ways. How do we get that going? The wisdom is a spirit. Daniel had the spirit of wisdom. Solomon was given the spirit of wisdom. All right? We see examples of those, but there was none as wise as Jesus. When he got cornered, the law says to stone her. What do you say? They were waiting for him because they just said not one jot or one tittle of the law fell before all was fulfilled. Oh, now what do you say? He was cornered. There was no way out. And he said, okay, he who is among you without sin, let him cast the first stone at her. They dropped their rocks. Wisdom triumphed in every situation he was in. He called it forth. He had wisdom. Remember Solomon? Cut the baby in half. Remember that one? When the real mother said, don't do it. And the other woman said, yeah, go ahead. He knew who the real mother was. That's the kind of wisdom that you guys are going to see in your life. Amen? We just prayed for that, didn't we?
Amen.
Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This is how we're going to activate that wisdom. Stir it up in ourselves and get the wisdom of God, get the ears to hear, the eyes to see, and the mouth to speak what God speaks, and to come into agreement with Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. However, Paul said, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages and for our glory, that none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. But, see that word? But cancels out all of that. But God has revealed them to us. What things did He reveal? The things that your eyes haven't seen, your ears haven't heard, or entered into your heart. Even the prophets didn't even understand all of this. Those things that God has prepared for us have been revealed to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. People say, well, you know, I haven't seen nor ears heard that, that. When we get to heaven, we'll all see it. Yeah, and you know what? There's going to be a lot of unopened gifts up there that you won't need them up there. You need them here.
Right.
Well, we'll all be healed. You're not going to need your gift of healing in heaven.
Right.
You need it here. We get theologians. God bless their darling hearts and their stupid heads. Look at this, 1 Corinthians 14, 2. Right, so we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, right? Verse 7. Okay. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men but unto God, for no man understands. Howbeit in the Spirit he what? Oh, this is coming together nicely. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. He who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks mysteries in the Spirit. These are divine secrets. You say, well, why are the secrets? Why do you know? Because you had an enemy. And if God was just to speak directly to you and unleash His plan, His purpose, and His strategy, and your way of getting to where He wants you to be, the enemy can counter it. Couldn't he? He could launch his own strategy, get you distracted, get you double-minded, get you fouled up in all kinds of unforgiveness and bitterness, and can get you out of that track that God has you on. Say, well, if God wants to do it, he'll do it. Okay, see how far that gets you. It's not going to produce for you. No, God has given you a mind. If God wanted robots, he would have done that, and there would have never been a tree in the garden. Eye has not seen, ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has done, but he has revealed them to us. Through how? Through his Spirit. And how does that work? You speak those mysteries in the Spirit. Then what does it say? If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. So what do you need? You're praying in tongues, praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit. What do you need? You need understanding? You need this. Wherefore, let him that speaks in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. If you are doing and sowing to the Spirit, believe me, the Holy Spirit is going to interpret back to your mind what you've been praying. Amen. Sometimes that may take a week before you get the understanding and the interpretation. Sometimes it's immediate. Sometimes it's a month from now. There was a time when I was praying in tongues an hour every single month before I did anything. And the fruit, the harvest from that was just unbelievable. It was really, really sweet, really good. But praying in tongues, praying in tongues, praying in tongues. Why is that? Because you're tapping into the treasure trove, the treasury. And we've talked about this before. This treasure in earthen vessel is a vast treasure that is indescribably wealth of heaven. There's a deposit in that thing that is so rich beyond your wildest imagination, but unless you tap into it and get an understanding of it and how it works, you're never going to get it. The Bible is a code book. And unless you get the code that the author put, you'll never get the code unless you get the Spirit that wrote the code. Does that make sense? It's a code book because it doesn't want to let the devil know what he wants to do in your life. You have an enemy. This is a fallen world. It's not where everything operates according to the perfect will of God. If you believe that, if you believe that everything that happens is the will of God, you have justified every theft, every rape, every murder, every degraded thing that human beings have ever done, and saying it's the will of God.
Nice.
It's not.
Amen.
God is a good God.
Amen.
And he is misrepresented and he is slimed and smeared from pulpits all over this country on mornings just like this. Yeah. And I'm not going to stand for it.
Amen. Amen.
You can't let those words about your father go unchallenged.
Amen.
Amen.
Or about your Savior who went through everything he did for you to be healed, restored, renewed, redeemed, reconciled to the Father. And do all of that so that you can say, yeah, well, I guess that was God's will. We have laws in this country that will put people in jail for abusing their children. Don't tell me that God puts cancer on his kids. That's abuse. The devil is the abuser. God is the healer.
Amen.
God is the Father.
Amen.
Who is merciful, who has gone through all kinds of strides of unbelievable things for you.
Amen.
And me.
Amen.
How can we dare say, well, did God inflict you with that? Or I don't know if God will heal me if it's his will. That's already been answered. The leper said, if you will, you can heal me. Jesus said, I will, be thou clean. And the Living Bible says, of course I will. Blinding flash of the obvious. We need to get our heads out of the clouds and get it into the truth, and you'll be free.
Amen.
Continue in my word, and you know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You know, let me get into some examples of this, and I'm going to close. But in Vietnam, back when I was engaged in the full gospel business, back in Connecticut and so forth, and a little bit here, but not really. I spoke a couple of times there. But there was this colonel in the army. He was in Vietnam. And he was a Christian man, filled with the Holy Spirit, just a powerful man. And about 50 or 60 of Americans were surrounded by Viet Cong, and he just happened to go into this one spot where they had a makeshift office, and they updated him and said about 50 or 60 of our guys are surrounded by Viet Cong in a certain area. We have radio contact with them, but they can't go anywhere. They can't move. Well, this colonel didn't know what to do, so he went outside and he just started praying in tongues. Just worshiping God, getting out of this and pulling up stuff from here where the treasure is. This is what the Holy Spirit said to him. He said, those yet come are listening by radio. They're monitoring. But they know nothing about how Jesus came into this world. And he heard those words from the Holy Spirit and said, right then I knew exactly what to do. He went back into that little makeshift office and he grabbed the radio and he said, Corporal, this is Colonel so-and-so. Respond. Yes, this is Corporal so-and-so. Go ahead, Colonel. And said, son, are you a Christian boy? He said, yes, sir, I am. Good. He said, I'm going to ask you a question. I don't want you to answer it. Just say yes or no. The wise men came from which direction? Don't answer that. Just say yes or no. Do you understand which direction that is? He said, yes, sir, I do. He says, okay, I'm going to lay a ring of fire around you. And every place except that, you run that direction. Everybody knows the wise man came from the east, right? He's a Christian boy. He knows it. But the Viet Cong don't know that. You see the wisdom of God? Just, and he started laying a ring of fire all around him. And they highly said, in 2 minutes, this is going to happen. Get ready. All around, and they headed east. Boom! Well, they trusted the compass. Now they're trusting his word, and he's trusting God. Didn't lose a man. Not one of them. Before that, those guys were as good as cooked. Dead. He's praying and telling us the wisdom of God. So, well, you know, that's wartime. I mean, come on, get something, you know, what about my situation? Well, let's go to Decatur, Illinois. There was a man, he was active in the full gospel businessman's too. And I'm going back to 70s here. Howard Height, in fact, he died in 2013. Howard Height was a farmer, another preaching farmer. And Howard Height was an amazing man of deep revelation. Understanding of the scriptures. And there was one time, he said, there was about 3 weeks where it was an average of about 26 below zero and out on the farm there. And he had a farmhouse with the old clapboards. It was an old house, right? And every nail in that house was about 26 below zero. It was cold. It was a terrible winter. People died during that time. And his furnace couldn't keep up. And the house temperature kept on going down, down, down. So he called his wife and the kids into the living room at the family altar. And he says, we need to pray. And we need to figure this out. So if the Holy Spirit tells you anything, be free to share. They got down. In about 15 minutes of praying in tongues, the Holy Spirit asked Howard, he says, Howard, do you remember where you hung that hose in the fall? He says, I didn't have anything else. I just knew it was God. He said, go get it. Yes, sir. He didn't know why. He didn't know anything. He didn't have any of his own answers. So he went and asked the Lord, and the Lord told him, go get the hose. So he says, hook it up and spray the north side and the west side of the house with water. So he hooked it up, and he didn't know why. He was, you know, filled the water pots with water. Why? And we need why. He needs heat in his house. It's time to spray it with water when it's 26 degrees below zero outside. He doesn't know what he's doing. But as soon as he sprayed the water on the house, it formed a coating. It froze immediately, right on the side of the house and on the west side of the house. Now, if you asked an Eskimo They would know exactly what he's doing. But a farmer in Decatur, Illinois has no idea. All he did was hear God and obey. How did he hear God? Praying in the Spirit, drawing from that treasury on the inside of him, hearing the voice of the Spirit. And what happened was, it formed those ice walls on the side of his house, and the furnace just started coming back up, and the house was warm. And it stayed that way until it got warm and the ice melted. Whatever you have, whatever need you have in your life, the Holy Spirit knows the answer.
Right.
He knows, he has the supply. He can use what's in your very own hands, whether it's a sword, whether it's a hose, whether it's laying a ring of fire around your friends and you, whatever it is, angels are available. The peace of God inside of you can still storm.
Yeah.
Jesse Duplantis did that one time. And he was standing in his church building. And a tornado is coming right at him. He says, "No, you don't, in the name of Jesus, you disappear. Get out." The tornado turned into two tornadoes right in front of him, went right around him, and didn't touch his building. Not a blade of grass was missing. What am I saying here? It says, "As Christ has made unto us wisdom, righteousness." Where does the wisdom come from? So for you to discern the times you're in and know what to do and have the right answers. Do this. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. And there's only one way I know that you can do that. Is to pray in tongues throughout the day. When you're driving, when you're at the store, when you're at the register, and somebody in front of you has got a book of coupons that thick. Well, I'm patient. Look, the answers are there for those who are seeking and who want it. Jesus said, "Seek, and you will find. Knock, it will be open." Amen.
Amen.
Pray for us. Let's pray.